We know from what Jesus said to a man that asked him one day, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in all the law?" We know that as Jesus answered that question, we received the greatest commandment for us as His followers and for anybody to obey. And He took from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and He said, it's this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. And you'll find it in Matthew 22, you'll find it in Mark 14, but it's the greatest commandment. And He added a second to it. He said, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. But it's the greatest thing that we could do in God's eyes that would please Him the most is to love Him with all that we are. It's the greatest thing that we could do. So, Jesus, being God who came down from heaven, put on a human body, walked among us, God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, He is God. And so, how can we love Him to the max? How can we love Him the most we could possibly love Him? Well, we get some extra insight into that in Luke chapter 7. I think God gives us some keys here, some thoughts about how we could love Him the most we could possibly love Him, how we could love God more, how we could love Jesus more. And so turn with me to Luke chapter 7. And let's look at verses 36 through 50. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible next to you in the chair. And that's in the New Testament. It's that last third of the Bible. If you divided your Bible up, it'd be that last third. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke. That's where you want to be. Luke chapter 7. Let's look at verses 36 through 50, but let's pray. Father, we just ask that You would speak to us right now, Lord, through Your Word. Thank You for Your message that You've given, and just pray that You'd get me out of the way and that You would speak. We need to hear from You, Lord. And we ask that You would meet us, Lord, in this supper. Lord, may we meet with You. May we commune with You, as it is called communion. May we fellowship with You through this supper, Lord. Speak to us through these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So how can you love Jesus to the max? How can I love Him to the max? Let's look at this. It says in verse 36, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So He went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind Him at His feet weeping, she began to wet His feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then He turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. How can you love Jesus to the max? Well, we learn right here, as Jesus gave this illustration, a denarii was a coin that's worth about a day's wages. So he tells this story of trying to get Simon. Simon's very self-righteous, and he's going, if this were really a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this is touching him. He's probably not a prophet. I don't know what he was thinking beyond that. I don't want to add to God's word. But you wonder what he was thinking. And then Jesus, I guess knowing his thoughts, just answers him and tells this illustration. Two people owed money. One, 500 days. What, about a year and a half's wages. And then another one owed 50, about 50 days of work. You know, a little over a month's wages. And then this man cancels both of their debts. Yeah, which one will love him more? Oh, the year and a half guy is going to be like, wow, thank you so much. You are an incredible guy. I love you. That means so much to me. And Jesus goes on to relay it to our sin. That we all have this sin debt. We all have a debt to God. We've sinned against Him. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We all have this sin debt. And Jesus goes on to say that He talks about in verse 47, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. And he talked about the woman and he said she's been forgiven a lot. So she loves a lot. But he who's been forgiven little loves a little. So, if you want to love Jesus to the max, if you want to love Him the most you could possibly love Him, how can you do that more and more? Well, be forgiven a lot. If you're forgiven a little, you love a little. If you're forgiven a lot, you love a lot. So how can you express more? How can you love Jesus more and more? Be forgiven a lot. The more you are forgiven, the more you will love Him. So, does that mean sin a lot more? Does that mean get a lot worse, be a lot worse person, sin as much as you can, because then He'll have to forgive you more and more and more, and you'll love Him more and more, you'll love Him the most. So sin as much as you can, is that what it means? No! The Apostle Paul goes over that argument over and over, that sometimes people try to make that mistake and that kind of thing, because if you love Him, you're not going to sin anyway. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So if you even love Him anyway, you're going to try not to sin because you love Him. You know that grieves His heart and hurts Him. And so, no, of course not. Well, then how can I be forgiven more and more and more? Well, it doesn't mean to sin a lot more. No. What it means is you need to realize how much you do sin a lot more. That's the problem. We don't know how bad we are. That's the problem. We're all there. We're all just as bad as this woman. If we've broken the law at any point, we've broken God's whole law, He tells us. If you stumble at one little point, you tell a little white lie, you've broken His whole law. And you're destined for hell apart from Him. The problem is, if you don't love Him enough, the problem is we need to realize how much we do sin. You need to realize that a lot more. That's the problem. If you want to love Him more, the sin's already there. It's just sometimes we fool ourselves. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. Sometimes we try to tell ourselves, we're pretty good. We're a pretty good person. But if we want to love Him more and more, we need to realize you and I need to realize how much we sin a lot more. So if you don't feel like today that you love Him enough? You probably have too high a view of yourself. If you don't feel, if there's something lacking, you feel like, I just don't love Him a whole lot. You probably think a little too highly of yourself. You probably think maybe that you're a little too good, that you're not that sinful of a person. You're a pretty good person. And therefore, you don't love Him a whole lot. You need to realize your sin more and confess more and repent more. And when you experience His forgiveness more and more, you'll love Him more and more. Paul's a great example of this. Paul said, when he looked at himself, the Apostle Paul, we would think he's a pretty righteous guy. He's got the Christian life down pretty well, probably better than I do, probably better than you do, we would think, right? But when Paul would speak about himself, he would say, I'm the chief of all sinners. His attitude was, I'm the worst one. Out of all sinners, I'm the worst. That was his attitude. And then you can read in Romans chapter 7. And he would say, the good I want to do, I don't do. And then the bad I don't want to do, I do do. And he goes on and on. Just read Romans chapter 7. He's like, I can't do the good that I want to do. I just keep doing the bad. And the bad I don't want to do, I just keep on doing. And then he finally says, who will save me from this body of death? And he says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Romans chapter 8, he shares the answer with us. That it's by the Spirit. It's living by the Spirit. It's what God has done for us. But you see, Paul realized his sinfulness. So you know he loved the Lord a whole lot. Let me share something else with you that Jesus said. This is in, if you can turn there fast enough, you're welcome to. I don't know if you can, but this is Luke chapter 18. You can write it down if you can't turn there. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. Jesus talked some more about this. Here's what he said in verses 9 to 14. You see, there were some that were pretty confident of their righteousness there before him. And we're in a church this morning. I bet there are some here pretty confident of their righteousness this morning. Maybe it's me. But I bet there's some pretty confident of their righteousness here this morning. I bet there may be some that said, I've grown up since I can imagine. I was in the church and I gave my life to the Lord and I was baptized. I've always been a good person. A good person. Well, listen to what Jesus said along these lines as well in Luke 18, verse 9 and following. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Which one do you think loved the Lord more? I bet when the man finished beating his breast and said, have mercy on me, God, I can't even look at you, I'm such a sinner. Kind of like when he called Peter, and Peter saw this miraculous catch, and then Peter looked at Jesus and he said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I can't be around you. I'm a sinful man. Maybe this man who beat his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. You see, whoever asks, they're going to be forgiven. I bet he loves a lot more than the one who thought he was so righteous and he's always in church and does everything right. And he was saying, thank you that I'm on track, that I've got it. I'm doing everything so well. I bet he loved a lot less than this other guy because The righteous one didn't realize, they're both just as sinful. The righteous guy didn't realize, maybe his, you know, sometimes when we feel like we're doing pretty good, a lot of times one among many, but one of our biggest sins is pride. And God really hates pride. He even lays it out, as he even puts down like seven things God really hates, and he makes a little list, and that's one of them. So we got to watch out there if we think we're doing pretty good. Realize how much you do sin a lot more, and you're going to love Jesus a lot more. And you know what? I have this thought. I heard, I think it was Steve Brown, I heard him say one day, you know, sometimes people get this self-righteousness, or sometimes people think they're pretty good and they're a good person and they're doing pretty good. And I heard him say one time, you know, let's say I feel like that about my, I'm a good Christian, I'm doing great. And let's say I'm with another good Christian, we're doing pretty good. And, you know, we could sit there and talk, and I guess we could be like, you know, if I'm all right and you're all right, what's he doing up there? What's he doing up on that cross? If I'm all right and you're all right, we're doing pretty good, we're good people, what's he up there for? What's that all about? So I want to encourage you. A woman in China, I've mentioned recently because it's meant so much to me. Gordon Fort, he's probably about the second person up in our International Mission Board. And he was at First Baptist not too long ago. I got to talk to him. And it's just meant so much to me. He had he said that there was a woman in China that they needed, their friend needed healing. And so they gathered around and went to pray for healing for their friend. But as they went to pray, this one woman, God convicted her. The Holy Spirit told her, you have envy in your heart against this other woman. This other woman had gotten a job that she wanted, and she thought she should have gotten a job. And she realized her sin against this woman. And she said, okay, God, well, I'll get, you know, I'll confess it to her later. You know, we're going to pray and pray for healing for this person. And when everybody's not around, I will do it. I'll tell this lady I have envy against her. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. But she couldn't pray. She knew the Holy Spirit was telling her no right now. And she believed in her heart that if she actually laid hands on the one who needed healing, that God would not heal her that day if she had not confessed. So she went ahead and got bold, and she said, so-and-so, before we pray, I've got to tell you, I've been envious of you. And I want to ask you to forgive me. Ever since you got that job, you know, I thought I should have gotten it. And so the lady forgave her, and there was love, and they prayed for the woman. The woman was miraculously healed. And it broke out in a huge revival in China that it's staggering how many people are saved every day. I need to call him back and figure out so I can share those numbers, but you wouldn't believe it. That's how that revival broke out. And now that woman goes around everywhere and confronts people, pastors, whoever, and says, you need to make a sin list. You need to get before the Lord. You need to sit down and you need to just take time and say, God, show me all my sins. Show me everything. And just take the time and have a legal pad and just start writing. And he told of one pastor that she went to, and he and his wife were going to do it. But he just thought, you know, he'd have like four or five on this list. And Gordon Fort said that page after page after page, they finally finished this legal pad, the two of them. And I did that after I heard that, and it was incredible. The Lord laid some things on my heart, and I just repented. And that's the idea. I want to encourage everybody here, start your sin list right now, because we're about to have the Lord's Supper. God says, don't take it flippantly. Be all confessed up. Don't. If you're harboring any sin in your heart, if you know of anything, some relationship that's messed up, or you know something, let the supper pass by. It gets pretty dangerous to take the Lord's Supper. People were, in the book of Acts, you know, taken in a manner unworthy, and people were dying and things like that. I mean, it must be pretty serious to God. So we're always to examine ourselves before we take the supper. And if there's anything, a sin you're harboring, right now, start your sin list. I don't care if you start writing while I'm talking right now. But ask the Lord right now, God, is there anything that is displeasing in my life to you? And it was incredible for me. There were four relationships that I felt like He wanted me to get in touch with these people and talk to them and confess and ask them to forgive me, and I did. And it was incredible. It was incredible. It seemed like one young lady was still kind of angry. The other ones, I think, you know, there wasn't much to it, but this one young lady, I think she was still upset with me. But we talked and talked and just talked it all out. And she said, you know, if the Lord's forgiven me for all of it, she said, I forgive you. And she said, and you know what? She said, I think I need to start one of those sin lists. I said, oh, yeah, do it, girl. And you know, we're fine now. But so I encourage you to get before the Lord and do that. But start your list right now, because that's what we need to do anyway. We're about to take the Lord's Supper. And then He can use you as a clean and pure vessel. And the more and more you confess to Him, the more and more you'll love Him. If you want to love Him to the max, you do that. I was going to read it, but I don't have time. In Psalm 53, read that this afternoon or tonight. That was, if you're doing the His Word for You in your worship bulletin there, then you just read it a day or two ago. But it'll help you see your sinfulness. Read Psalm 53. And then you'll love Him more and more, because He forgives you. Every time you go to Him, He forgives. He forgives it all. And then you'll love Him more and more.